I want to say, first of all, thank you, Brother Ed. Thank you for bringing that timely word last week. It's comforting to know that when I have to leave the state for whatever reason, that I know that there's brothers that I can call upon to share the word of God from their heart. And last night, because I listened to you again last night. That's why. So. But just to know, just to hear you and Karen doing communion, you know, and having Margarita come and pray, that was pretty cool. I just like, oh, look at that, you know. And so, I mean, I just wanted to brag on my church, you know. I mean, it's not my church, but, you know, I just want to brag on y'all. I just, you guys knocked that out of the park last week. And so, I also want to let you know that David Nguyen, who did family camp last year, sends his love and his appreciation to each and every one of you for allowing me the opportunity to be there for him and his celebration as Father opens up a new door for him as he closes the one that he's been the role as a regional pastor for 23 years. And then another 20 years as a pastor. And he just loves pastoring to pastors. And so he received an honorary doctorate. And so it was pretty neat to be able to call him Dr. David. And his family was there. It was a really good time. This week, we are back. And we're back into this series. The series called Passion. And so 2 weeks ago, we learned about the nails. The nails that held, it wasn't the nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was his passion for you and I and the humility for humanity. Jesus was a humble king who wanted to serve us desperately in any form or fashion. And so Jesus' actions were fueled by a humble love for each of us. And we'll discuss that a little bit further today about the perfect love he has and how focused he was on us. He did it for us. Sometimes it's hard to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, but we must never grow tired of following Christ because he is the one who has perfected our faith. It was this joy that caused him to endure the cross for you and I, that we would have a new life, a life eternal. I don't know about any of you. If you've ever been in a 10K, if you've ever ran a 10K, and some of you are like saying, why'd I want to run 10K? Where's the joy in running 6.2 miles, right? But when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, I wanted to run this 10K. And so I'd never run a 10K before, so I knew I would need some help. So I enlisted the help of my neighbor and also the high school janitor. Her name was Coco Gillen. And so we called her Coco because no one could say her correct birth given name in Japanese. So we called her Coco. She was an avid runner. She was running. She ran every day, if not just for the next race, but she just wanted to run. And she enjoyed running. So I said, hey, Coco, will you train me to get ready for this 10K? And she said, okay, Junior, because they called me Junior back in the day. All right, so she goes, okay, Junior, we run. I'm like, okay. So the first day, my first training day, I was a mess. I'm like, you know, my lungs are collapsing, and I'm like, man, this is what I signed up for. But every day she ran, rain or shine, and she knocked on my door. Come on, Junior, we run. And I'm like, oh, give it a break. She goes, no, we run. You said that. You wanted to train, and so it was hard. I mean, because I just haven't ever ran before, but I was getting into shape, but I was training every day. And then the day came when for the big race, big 10K. So I'm there, and so I start off on the run, and this run for fun wasn't so much fun anymore as this side of my side. I'm like, oh, this is painful. But I kept running. I didn't stop. And there's people, I could see the finish line. People like, yay, you know, but Coco Gillen, she's already been to the finish line, and now she's coming back. She's gone to the finish line. She's accomplished her task. But see, her task wasn't finished. She came back. She said, come on, Junior! I finished the race. In running terms, Jesus ran a perfect race while here on this earth. And his race took him to his eventual death on the cross, but then his resurrection 3 days later. This journey was fueled by the love that he had for us, that he has for us. So if you have your Bibles this morning, would you please turn with them this morning to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 26. That's where we're going to start off this morning. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 26. And here we find the Apostle Paul. He's teaching some profound teaching of self-discipline and training. And it reads, Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. Heavenly Father, this morning, these words that you have left for us, that you had pinned to parchment, these are words of encouragement this morning, words to spur us along. And I pray that not only just hearing these, not just hearing the word, that we would act on your word. That we'd be doers of your word. Father, I ask that you would be with me this morning as I share your word. Let it be the way you would want to be spoken, in no other way. In your name I pray, amen. As I said, Jesus ran a perfect race. And we know from the Gospels he was very disciplined with his time. He was intentional with his time. I think that's something we can learn from that right there. We need to be more intentional with our time. He was never ever just running aimlessly, nor boxing into the air. He had an eternal crown in which he wished to wear. That calling that was given to him to run that race. Hebrews 12:1-2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings us so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We too are called to run that similar race. We are running through life. It's important that we do so, that we run with endurance. Endurance requires commitment. It invites us to never give up, hoping with the hope of the cross, that's the finish line. Today, I want us to talk a little bit about Jesus as a perfecter of our faith. while we run this race, God is able to refine us as we run the race with endurance. But how does this happen? What is required from us in order to accomplish, to finish this race and finish it well? First of all, we need to keep our eyes on the cross. We need to keep our eyes on the cross. The last time I was here, we spent time discussing how Jesus suffered on the cross for our sins. It was his passion for humanity that held him there, not the nails. I believe if we desire to experience that same type of passion, if we desire to experience Jesus Christ personally, day by day, we must be willing to fix our gaze upon the cross. As men and women, young and old, we experience this ongoing conflict between where we have this gaze versus a glance. A glaze, you know what I'm saying? You're intently glazing as opposed to, yeah, okay. Maybe it's a stretch. Maybe there are some here today that maybe they feel a little bit empty. Maybe it's because they're glancing at the Word of God instead of there being a gaze. We've got to be intent. We've got to be intentional and not just glancing. Not like, oh, geez, here's a Bible on the nightstand. How did that get there? Instead of being, look at this. And I know that some of you, because you've told me, I don't have to speculate or guess, you've told me, you said, you know what, I read something in the Word today, I had never seen it before. But maybe you've seen it before, but it just never spoke to you. Because maybe before you just glanced at it. Now you're glazing at it. I want you to spend time glazing at God and beholding Him. Glazing at God invites us to spend time with Him constantly. Paul talks about this in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Now, this is one of those short scriptures in the Bible. I think all of us know like what the shortest verse in the Bible is, right? It is Jesus wept. That's one that, you know, like, you know the Bible, the kids are like, yeah, Jesus wept. All right. But where is it found? I don't know. John 11:35. All right. This here is another short verse. All right. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's one of the three scriptures in the New Testament that's only three words to it. All right. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Everybody say that with me. Pray without ceasing. That's an easy one to remember. Fixing our gaze upon Christ means praying whenever. Whether you're in the car or you're on a bike ride or whether you're in your local market or whether it's house hunting, especially then, right? Praying, you got to pray then. Whether you're in school, wherever you may be, pray. We have to train our minds to focus on Christ and stop focusing on other things that are going on in the world that mean nothing in compared to Him. There's no amount of time, there's no time limit in which you can spend with Him. He's not saying, okay, You spent 10 minutes. That's good enough. You don't need to spend any more time with me. You'll never hear him say that. You'll never hear him express that. He's like, come on. Come here. Spend as much time with me. Because, you know, when you're spending time with me, I'm spending time with you. As we direct our focus to the cross, God is able to refine and perfect our faith. He's able to take us deeper in prayer and deeper in his word. He's always wanting to say, hey, let me show you this. I have something for you. Endure whatever the race brings. The Bible makes it clear there will be hard times we face while running. Like I said before, that pain in my side, you know, I think it was only at the 3 mile mark, all right? There will be hard times when we're running this race. We will have to learn to endure the frustrations and the hardships. We find in John 16:33 where it says, in life you will have trouble. And in James 1, the second verse, it says, count it all joy when you face trials of various kinds. Doesn't make sense, right? For it to be joyous when you're going through those times. These are just a couple of passages that reiterate the constant message you'll find throughout the Bible. Even Jesus had to endure suffering and pain. He was persecuted. Just think about the anguish that he was going through. Brother Ed talked about it last week, the love that he had for us. He wasn't fearful. He wasn't afraid of it. He wasn't afraid of what he had to do. He was concerned. That's what you said, right, Ed? Ed said he was concerned, so concerned that when you read that passage when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's so concerned that beads, not of sweat, but our blood are coming through his pores. I'm going to attempt to say this word. Help me out, clinicians. Hematriosis. Okay, look it up. Google it. Blood coming through your pores, like sweat, all right? All right. If anybody knows how to say it, help me out. Go ahead, Alicia. Okay, hematidriosis, all right? It's a rare... all right, that's why I'm not a doctor, all right? For that reason and many others, all right? But it's an actual, it's a real thing. It's not just some Bible thing, although the Bible thing is a real thing, yes? But Jesus was so concerned. Can you imagine a pool of blood coming from his forehead? Just to, like you're sweating like that, but blood coming? Tell me that Jesus didn't go through something. Tell me that he wasn't concerned. However, ultimately, he was willing to endure the cross. Not for himself, but for us, for you and I. If we want our faith to be refined and perfected, chances are we will have to go through fire. People will look at us. People are looking at us at our workplaces, wherever we are, and seeing if we are holding true to the name Christian, right? Oh, I'm a Christian, or I'm a believer. And I think what they're looking at how they can get us, right? Oh, I thought you were a Christian. I thought Christians don't do this. Believers don't do this. And then when we get in a fix, when we get in a bind, When things are going our way, when our world is topsy-turvy, that's where we need to shine as believers, because they're saying, okay, now, how are you going to act now? Christian, believer, car accident, relationships, children. I shouldn't have did that so hard, so sorry. Children. We're refined. How we act during those hard times define us. We're like, oh yeah, I saw this guy go through this. And yes, although they were saddened, they didn't go all crazy. Paul says in Romans 8:17, he says this, and if children, they're heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified in him. There is something about the suffering that refines us. I know that each and every one of us have gone through something hard. Harder than you would ever expect. You know that one thing. You know that thing that just tried you. But because you never gave up on him, he never gave up on you. When we feel like we are at our most difficult point in our lives, that is when God is able to shine his light, his brightest light through us. Maybe God has you in a season right now so that he can shape you and form you. He says, okay, I've got you here, but let me tighten you up a little bit. You're good here, but man, I can make you just a little bit. Oh, I can do a lot of it, but you can't take all that one time. So, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna kind of refine you, not necessarily reshape. I'm gonna refine you because I've already molded you here. I'm just refining you. Sometimes that refining is a little hard. It's not comfortable. However, the Bible promises that we can still have joy in the midst of our suffering. God, I don't know why you're making me go through this, but I know at the end, woohoo! This test has become a testimony. The decision Jesus Christ made to endure the cross was, in the eyes of the world, it was foolish. Culturally, what Jesus did by dying on the cross was crazy. The cross, this cross, it wasn't designed for Jesus. The cross was designed for criminals. Designed for criminals. Thieves and murderers. And yet, Jesus was willing to die on that cross. Why? For the joy set before him. Wait, so that means that Jesus joyfully reconciling for us, for God, a God? He liked us that much? I wonder if maybe we are called to take a similar posture of endurance. He did that for us. We do that for him. Does it bring joy to think about those in your life that don't know Christ is coming to him, it burdens me. I would can't help but think that there's people in your lives, family members, that you're saying, oh, I wish they knew Jesus. I wish they knew Jesus. Because they don't know Jesus. You know their fate. I've never done this before. I've never did a funeral service up to date where the person that I'm, the funeral service that I'm officiating, where the person was not a believer. I've never done that before. Everyone that I've ever, I don't have a lot, but I have enough. One's too many. But I'm going to be faced this summer with speaking about Jesus to a community, a lot of them my classmates, that it's not that I don't think that they don't know Jesus. They've ignored him. And I'm not totally convinced, although he allowed me to pray over him before he passed away, I don't know for sure that he was a believer. I want to think that he was, my heart, because if he's not, then I know where he's at. And that pains me even more. Keep your eyes fixed on the cross. Endure whatever the race brings. And remember that you're not alone in that race. That scripture says you have those who are cheering you on. There's those of us who have come along one another that have said, hey, come on. You'll be okay. You'll be okay. You don't have to do this alone. I'm right here with you. You're not alone. Remember that. You're not alone. All throughout Jesus' early earthly ministry, he was reminding people that he was not alone. He was not alone. He always referred that God the Father was directing. He wasn't doing it on his own. That God the Father, his Father, was directing his footsteps. Jesus was finding moments, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he found time to spend some one-on-one time with his Father. He knew what he was about to go. He's like, Father, can we just sit down for a minute? Can I just talk to you? And I know that we need to do the same thing. We need to just sit down and block out everything else that's going on. And just speak with him. Let me say this. There are times, however you want to do it, young folks, you need to grab a hold of your parent and say, hey, I need some one-on-one time. I want to speak with you. I want to talk with you. I want to share with you, mom or dad, some things that are on my heart that are heavy. Mom and dad, I just want to share some things that I want to share something that's funny. Parents, don't dismiss that. Take advantage of that. Initiate that. It's time we're spent. Just as God has led myself through some different difficult seasons, the things that I've learned from it. I've focused on the fact that whatever I was going through, I was never alone. I did say, God, what is going on? I did say, God, what is going on? So obviously I'm acknowledging that he's with me. I can ask that question. You can ask that question. God, what is going on? I think through those experiences, I have witnessed God refining me. It happens when we are solely reliant on God's ability and willingness to lead us through life. We must learn to trust Him, learn to have faith in Him, learn to rely on the Holy Spirit speaking in you. The Holy Spirit's there. The Holy Spirit's there, amen. We just need to listen to it. John 14, 16 reads, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever." Jesus Himself said that the Holy Spirit will never leave us. Whether you are enduring a tough season right now, or no matter where you're at, if you're down in the lowest of lows or in the highest of highs, Jesus is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. We are never truly alone. The perfect love of Christ for His church is an amazing gift and encouragement. And it's worth remembering that Christ learned perfect love. He received perfect love directly from his Heavenly Father, who, again, is nothing but love. In John 15:9, Jesus reminds us, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." Jesus, the Savior of mankind, is asking you to remain in his perfect love. He's saying, "Remain in me. Don't glance away. Let your eyes be fixed on me. Let there be a gaze. Many of you know good and well, it's kind of hard to kind of wrap your head around that unconditional love of Jesus Christ, and to know that our Heavenly Father forfeited His only Son so that we could have that love. I'm telling you, you're not going to find that kind of love anywhere. You're not going to find it. You're not going to find it in a relationship. You're not going to find it in drugs. You're not going to find it in alcohol. You're not going to find it in your favorite hobby. There are people that are like saying, "You know, I can only do my favorite hobby on Sunday, so..." Worldly relationships will not fill that void that is in your heart, in your being. There's nothing else, no one else, that can supply the kind of love that He supplies. That unconditional agape love. Maybe there are some people here that they've never experienced that kind of love. It could be yours today. If you're saying, "I'm tired of being tired. I'm tired of not being loved on. I don't know what love is," then know today that it's available to you. All you have to do is ask. All you have to say is, "Jesus, I'm a mess. I'm mixed up. And I know that You're the only one that can help me. And I need that kind of love that people that know You are talking about." I know not that maybe everything won't become all better, but to know that I have someone with me, no matter what, that will never give up on me, that will love me no matter what. Heavenly Father, today, I pray for those who don't know you. I pray that there would be a relationship established between themselves and you. And for those who have loved you, who knew you, but have maybe stepped aside, walked away, Father, I want them to know that you are still there for them, that you have not left, and that there's nothing that one could do that would separate the love that you have for them. Father, I pray that we remain diligent, that we keep our eyes on the cross, that we run this race, and that we run it well. You set the example for that. Let us run the race you ran. In your name I pray. Amen.